If you have your Bibles with you today, we're in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Last week, we were in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So we're going back one passage in time. Jesus is nearing the town of Jericho, and his disciples are walking behind him. And so we find these words in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, where Jesus is talking about greatness. We find these words. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" Now I'm going to stop right there. If you were here last week, that question ought to sound familiar, because in last week's passage, Jesus asked someone else that, but the spirit of the ask is a little different. And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I'm baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them together, and he said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, open up our hearts and our minds by the power of your Spirit. Speak today to your children. Do it through me. Do it in spite of me. Let's preach together. And I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So our scripture lesson this morning, taken from Mark's 10th chapter, is really about greatness. It's kind of hidden in the words, but you will find the word great at least once in those 10 verses. Jesus is walking with his disciples when James and John pick up the pace and out and go in front of the others, and they catch up with Jesus and they ask for a special place in his kingdom. That's what this is about. This morning, I'd like for us to talk about greatness and what I think Jesus knows it is really about. Let me set the stage for this by telling you a story that Max Lucado tells. I think this is my third week of a Max Lucado story. Bear with me. This is a good one today. Imagine it's early on a Sunday morning, and Max gets to church early. Preachers get to church early to make sure everything's ready and that sort of thing. He goes into the sanctuary. There are a few people milling around, sitting in their places in the pews. And Max goes to the altar, and he has a prayer with God. It's more of a conversation. And Max begins by saying, "God, I want to do great things." God says, "You do?" And Max answers, "Yes. I want to teach millions. I want to fill churches and stadiums. I want the world to know your saving power." He says, "I dream of a day when..." And God says, "All right, Max, great. In fact, I could use you today after the worship service." Max is imagining what that might look like. He says, "Oh, how about national television or a stadium perhaps or a webinar or a podcast?" That's today's language, right? God says, "Well, that's not what I had in mind." God says, "You see that guy sitting over there in the corner?" He says, "Yeah." "He needs a ride home from church today." "What?" He needs a ride home from church today. He walked to church. It's a long walk, and it's going to rain. I guess I could hold off on that, but it's going to rain after the worship service. And so why don't you give him a ride home? Max says, but God, I want to do great things. He says, I know. And while you're taking him home, there's a woman in his neighborhood who goes to church here. You know her, Lois. She has a piece of furniture that she needs to move from one room to the other. She can't do it, and she doesn't have anybody who can. So on your way home from taking him home, stop by Lois's house and move that piece of furniture for her. Max says, God, I want to do great things. And God says, Max, think about it. Are y'all with me? Think about it. God smiles. We tend to think of greatness in terms of accomplishments and achievements and being our best at everything, right? Anybody remember Muhammad Ali, the boxer? He used to say things like this, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. No one is greater than Muhammad Ali. You remember that? He once said, I'm not the greatest, I'm the double greatest. Not only do I knock them out, I pick the round. Later in life, even though he had been on Sports Illustrated cover 38 times, he said this, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Can I say that again? Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. That's a different kind of greatness, isn't it, choir? Could it be that greatness really is about giving somebody a ride home, moving a piece of furniture, serving others? That's what I want to challenge us to think about this morning. Today is the second of six sermons in our Lenten series that we're calling Gospeled Lives. The series is based on a Lenten study I did several years ago, an Upper Room book written by John Endermark. Each week has a theme and five scriptures to go along with it. So last week's theme was called, and we looked at the story of Bartimaeus, who called out to Jesus. Doesn't feel like a call story, but it really is. He called out to Jesus at the city gate of Jericho and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me, he said, basically. And Jesus turns to him and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Right? Y'all remember that last week? And I asked you to think about that question. This week's theme is challenged. Terry, you did a great children's time on that today. Thank you for doing that. The question is asked again this week. The context is different, right? But the lesson says this before we arrive at it. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. You need to know that. And they were amazed. That's the disciples. They were amazed, and the crowd were afraid. For the third time and the final time in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus talks about his passion and his resurrection. And for some reason, those closest to him, those disciples, couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand it, even though he had said it three times now. So take a closer look at our lesson today. Jesus is just a few feet ahead. The disciples, a few feet behind. Jerusalem is only 15 miles away. That's when James and John, you remember James and John? They were among the first disciples that Jesus called. I preached on that back in January, I believe. And he walked by the seashore one day and said, hey, James and John, drop the fishing business, drop your dad, and come and follow me. James and John, along with Peter, you might say, are the leadership team of the disciples. And so they walk ahead, James and John do, catching up to Jesus, and they whisper, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. In essence, They're saying, say yes to whatever we ask before we even ask it. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine doing that? Do you mind if I pick on y'all just a minute? Can you imagine your son wave, says, Mom and Dad, I want you to say yes to whatever I ask you. Would you say yes to that? Probably not. No, I wouldn't either as a parent. And that's what Jesus is faced with. And he says, well, what do you want me to ask? What do you want? Bartimaeus wanted sight, right? James and John wanted a special place in his kingdom. Greatness. They don't understand that what waits for Jesus in Jerusalem isn't a kingdom. It's a crucifixion. So Jesus says, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And Jesus continues, and he says, they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, and they will spit on him, and they will flog him, and 3 days later, he will rise. James and John anticipated Jesus coming into Jerusalem as a kingly Messiah, a warrior on a white horse, come to save the day and reclaim the Jewish people. That's what they thought. That's what everyone thought a Messiah would look like. That's not how Jesus entered Jerusalem. You remember? Palm branches? Jesus is on a humble donkey with his feet dragging on the ground. That's the experience. And as to that request, I don't think James and John are altogether comfortable in asking it because they walk ahead of everyone else and they whisper the request and they say to Jesus, say yes to whatever we ask, right? And the other disciples, when they catch wind of it, they're mad. Why are they mad? Are they mad because James and John would dare to ask something like that of Jesus? Or were they mad because they didn't ask Jesus that for themselves first? So Jesus calls them all together, and he gives them a lesson on greatness. And it goes like this. Whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And to put an exclamation point on it, he says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Are y'all with me? If you go over to John's Gospel, chapter 13, on a night that we have come to call Maundy Thursday, which means Mandate Thursday, Jesus is giving us a new mandate. You remember? He comes from around the table, Jesus does. And he puts a towel around his waist. You remember? He has a basin of water, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet, a task that was reserved for a servant. And Jesus says to them, for I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done for you. He washed their feet. It's a servant's task. He's telling us to serve. That's what greatness is all about. Amen? So, Max, it is about giving the guy a ride home. It is. It is about moving a piece of furniture. It's bigger than a broadcast on television. It's more than being the best preacher anyone has ever heard, right? It's more than that. Well, what's it about? Maybe it's about serving meals and hope. Every Monday we do that right here in our building. To anyone who needs a hot meal, we call it our Wesley Kitchen Ministry, and we gather every Monday. They gather before I go back there to cook it, but every Monday at 4 to 5, it's about serving those people, our friends, our neighbors. It's about putting items like peanut butter and Pop-Tarts and ramen noodles and things like that into a Walmart bag as it goes all the way around and we deliver it to area schools, right? 300 bags a week on Wednesday mornings, and we deliver it. My prayer always is that when a kid opens up that bag, they will know that someone in this town cares about them and loves them enough to feed them. Amen? It's about offering our church as a place when it's very cold or very hot, people can come in and find rest. And something we take for granted, a hot shower and a load of laundry, that we pay the bills for that to happen. That's what greatness is all about. I'd like to close with a little story. Is that okay? My dad loved to work in the yard in the spring and the summer, and when it was cold outside, he would put up a card table, and he put together a latch hook rug. Do y'all know what a latch hook rug is? Kind of has a canvas, and you pull the strings through. He had a rug that he started, and 4 years later, he completed it. And it was in our house. It's still in my parents' house in Conway. And he called it the Carter Administration. He called it the Carter Administration because he started when Jimmy was elected, and 4 years later, when his term was over, Dad had finished it up. It took him 4 years to complete it. Jimmy Carter is the first president I ever remember. I was born in 68. I don't remember until about, I guess I started paying attention then. I don't know. You know his story, right? Born on a farm in Plains, Georgia, on a cotton farm. He became a peanut farmer. He went to high school. He went into the Navy. He became a senator, a governor, and a president. You know that? You know his story? Do you know that when he finished office, you know where he went? He went home to the little house that he and Rosalind had, and he went back to his Baptist Church in Maranatha, and he went to build houses for Habitat for Humanity. And it is said that he taught Sunday school for 70 years. So if you have any of your teachers out there, hold on, you haven't taught as long as Jimmy did, right? For 70 years, right? It is said that when he taught, which was twice a month, 500 people would come hear him teach. And he liked to ask this question, are any of you visiting our church today? Well, of course so. At the end of one of his lessons, near the end of it, right before COVID, he challenged, that's our word today, challenged those who were listening. He said, do one good deed for a stranger this week. Do one good deed for a stranger this week. Now, are y'all with me? That's my challenge to you today. Do one good deed for a stranger this week. How are you going to do that? I don't know. I don't know. Go to McDonald's and pay for the person who's behind you. Send someone a card. Send somebody a note. Make a donation for tornado relief. Someone you don't know, but they'll know that you love them. I challenge you to do it. It's our word of the day. I challenge us to serve.